Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all of you that are fasting and praying. Thank you. I think with the topic for this week, once I'm done, you're going to realize that is the single most powerful, meaningful thing we can do in this fight we are in for our country, for freedom, for truth. But thank you for doing that. I hope you're growing in a lot of different ways because of that. Those that are watching on the different platforms, please consider going to agendaweekly.com and becoming a subscriber there. We will each week send you all of our different resources that we have to help you be better informed, to influence more people, and to shine your light into the darkness in a more effective way. Before I get started with the topic for today, I want to read you a little quote somebody texted me that's very humorous, but so true about what's happening today. "We're having a gas crisis, so let's shut down the oil pipelines. We're having a crime wave, so let's shut down the prisons and defund the police. We're having a healthcare crisis, so let's fire the healthcare workers. We're having a pandemic, so let's create unregulated open borders." Our side is very good at coming up with humorous ways of expressing truth, which is a great way to communicate. I went to a conference this last week in Louisiana, and I learned a lot of things, heard a lot of different talks on different topics. And today I'm going to share with you some of the things I learned. But as I was listening to all the different speakers and their messages, something started to come together for me in a way that was so powerful and important. I think all of us are prone to talk about things in relations to Democrats versus Republicans, or conservatives versus liberals, or pro-American versus anti-American. And I think a lot of times those tags, those labels, those comparisons are damaging because it doesn't really express the battle we are in. And some of the things I'm going to share with you today are very heavy and disturbing, but it helped me realize, as the Bible says in Ephesians 6, this is a spiritual battle. It's not Democrats versus Republicans. It is Satan versus God. It is lies versus the truth. And in the blackness of the evil we are up against is so dark, our minds cannot comprehend it. Even when we get a glimpse of it, even when we hear stories of things that have happened, we just kind of block it out because we can't even handle hearing the truth. And we can't. It is so grotesque and so vile and so wretched what man will do to control man or to make more money or to just pretend as if he is God. And so today I'm going to talk about that. Just how black the evil is we are up against. And I hope in hearing this, it will pull you out of the little game we've been presented, us versus them, and all this nonsense that we get from so many of people on our side, like the Sean Hannitys of the world or whatever. It's, well, the next election, Republicans are going to get them. We're not interested in Democrats, Republicans, conservative, liberals. We're interested in truth and nothing else. And anything that is truth plus a little poison of a lie is evil to the core, and we must stand against it. We must expose the people speaking it, even if they're on our side. And we need to get prayed up and get engaged in this battle because it is almost incomprehensible. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today from some of the talks. I'm going to talk about things from MK Ultra program of the CIA, to this COVID theater of destruction that the elites have created to move forward their agenda of pretty much eliminating human beings from off the earth. I know that sounds extreme, but just listen to the things I have to say because it lines up exactly with what the Bible has told us. I've got a lot of notes I took at the conference from different speakers, and I'll be going through some of those, but I hope this helps you understand, like it helped me understand, why there is such an anti-human agenda worldwide. You know, why would you be giving a vaccine to five-year-olds that's an experimental treatment? Why would you do that when it could possibly damage them or hurt them or kill them? Why would you be pushing things all over the world like lockdowns that you know are going to cause millions, tens of millions of people to die because of the poverty you're going to force upon them? Well, we know lockdowns don't work for a virus. You cannot run and hide from a virus. Do you realize that? A lot of times I think we all kind of start to buy into the propaganda. We think we're rejecting it, but we're not. We're rejecting part of it. You cannot hide from a virus. The best thing to do if a virus is spreading is to see if there's any way to protect yourself naturally or with medicines or anything for when you get it to survive. But then you would want to be exposed to it because you cannot run and hide. The longer you try to subdue it or make people hide in the shadows, it's going to prolong the pandemic. It's going to make it a longer scenario instead of short and sweet. Because again, it's airborne, it's everywhere, it's highly contagious. So to run and hide from a virus, to put a mask on as if that's going to stop it when the holes in the mask are like a basketball net to the virus. When you do all these things that are going to increase the spread of the virus, but not give people the solutions to pre-treatment and things that have a 99.9% success rate in helping there be no deaths at all, well, then you know it's evil. But we have a hard time, we always excuse what they're doing as, these people are so ignorant. And I know I've talked about that a lot, but it's a key thing to always remember. Whether it's Afghanistan, our reaction to COVID, or all the different things going on in the world, the Biden administration is doing, open borders, all these things, none of them are out of ignorance. None. They're all purposeful plans to accomplish their purposes. So one of the people that spoke at the conference was a lady named Dr. Juliet Engel. And her story is so powerful. I had time to talk to her at breakfast the next morning. And it was the first time she'd spoken about this. She's written about it, but some people said, you need to share these stories so people understand how black the darkness is. And she was pulled into the CIA's MKUltra program back when she was a little child in California. And you can look up lots of stuff on this. A lot of people say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. It's not. There's videos of some of the testing that was done on people. They would drug people up and see how they reacted to things. They would try to brainwash people. They would try to erase the mind of people so that they could then create a new mind in there so they could control the people. It was all about mind control. And she got into some of the details that were pretty sobering to think this was going on in America in the 50s and 60s and 70s. And she feels, of course, it is still going on today. They've act like they've stopped it, but have we become moral all of a sudden since the 70s and ethical? Of course not. So if they were ever doing these things, they will always be doing these things.
One of the programs that came out of Operation Paperclip was MKUltra. Now, MKUltra was a very complex program that dealt with human experiments and mind manipulation.
As this 1952 CIA memo says, the aim is controlling an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will, and even against such fundamental laws of nature as self-preservation.
In the church committee, MKUltra came out as an actual program of mind control using mental, physical, and sexual abuse and psychotropic drugs.
Lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD.
It was one of the first times that anybody had run into a powerful drug that was different anything else that they knew anything about.
A decision was made at the highest levels of the CIA to do testing on unwitting Americans.
At Ravenscraig, Dr. Cameron went further with drugs and electric shock treatments than any researchers in the MKUltra project dared. His aim was to wipe the mind clean. Then he would implant new messages by forcing the patient to listen to a hypnotic repetition as many as 250,000 times. This was called psychic driving.
He would give the patient intensive electric treatment. He would attempt to implant new ideas in the mind of the patient.
Now, to a layman, it would appear that Dr. Cameron was trying to take the slate and wipe it clean, the slate being the mind. In other words, brainwashing.
Exactly. That's a very good comparison.
Brainwashing.
Yes.
She made it out of the program alive. Many did not, because she escaped out of there. And then she started to try to live a normal life. She got her MD and graduated top of her class from a university in Washington. And so she went on with things, but she knew something had happened. There was almost like a supernatural spell put on her, because she said every time she tried to read the Bible, she couldn't do it. She would open up the Bible and the words would start spinning on the page. It's like her brain had been programmed to be rebellious against the Bible, which is weird. But she said at 62 years old, a friend finally read her the entire Bible. And as they were reading her the Bible, all of a sudden she realized they had programmed the entire satanic Bible into her brain, because she knew all the verses, but they were all perverted and twisted. She said, I had known that, no, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent was Jesus. That's when she realized they had programmed the entire satanic Bible into her brain, which was what the CIA was trying to do. They were trying to program people with the information they wanted them to have so they would act in the way they wanted them to act. And they, again, did so many horrible experiments. But one of the key things she said as she was talking, and there was so much incredible information, she said this, quote, when you know the other Bible, like she did, having it programmed into her mind, you see the imagery everywhere. She said all the imagery in the satanic Bible, she goes, it is in advertising, packaging, it's in Netflix and commercials, everywhere. I was like, oh, that's from what I learned. Oh, that's from what I learned. That's what they programmed me with. And she said, it has so penetrated our culture, and it subliminally just in so much all around us. In the program were thousands of people. We don't even know how many, but it was thousands. And the program killed most of the people through abuse. But she got into some details about how others, and this is where I wanted to let you know what the root of this is. It is Satan. She goes, many were sacrificed to Satan. I know that sounds crazy. You hear that, you go, what are you talking about? She was in this. And I don't know if you saw the movie that came out about a year and a half ago. I think it was called Out of the Shadows, where that Hollywood stuntman came forward wrecking his entire career. He was the number one stuntman in all of Hollywood. And I don't even recommend you watching it. I watched it and it disturbed me. But he talked about how satanic Hollywood is. And they're after one thing, getting your children. And that is it. And the documentary was incredible, but it's so disturbing. I don't recommend it. But it confirmed what she was saying too. She said the same thing. And she goes, what happens is those that survive this MK Ultra program and they don't die in the process and they're able to make it through, then they are the ones they put up into key positions in society. Because the last step of the MK Ultra program, if you haven't died in the process, it is you give your soul to Satan in a human sacrifice ceremony. And she goes, once they do that, they are totally in. And I mean, again, this, it's so disturbing, but this is what she was talking about. And she said, then those are the ones, once they go through that ceremony, they, the elites that are involved in this, in the CIA, pick that person. You're the next rock star. You're the next politician. We're going to put everything behind. You're the next leader of industry. And they put them into key positions of power all over the country and all different types of institutions. When she was a child, she saw this. And they're giving everything the world has to offer in exchange for their soul. So when they're willing to do that and they've been programmed with their Bible, not our Bible, and have submitted to these people's rules, then that's what happens. And she goes, the script is embedded in their minds, and it's anti-human, genocidal. Ultimately, the slaughter of everyone is the goal. Everyone. This is what is so crazy about this. But that's how you know it's from Satan, because Satan hates human beings because we're made in the image of God. He loves death and destruction. She went on and talked about MK. Do you know why it's MK Ultra? What MK even means? A lot of people don't know. She knows because they had her study it and memorize it in the program. It's the book Mein Kampf, MK, from Adolf Hitler. That was the blueprint for what they're doing, trying to create this superhuman race, eliminate mankind, and create this transhumanist person that is a Superman, that is as God, that has eternal life, that is able to do whatever he wants to do. And it, again, sounds crazy, but all these pieces of the puzzle fit together with all my study over the years and all the things going on. Now you say, wait a minute, that's what this is about. She was taught in the program in the early 60s when she was just a young lady. She goes, I was taught that all blacks in the world would be extinguished by 1982. She even wrote a paper on it in her school when she was young, and the people said, where did you get this idea? And they had programmed me with that we have to get rid of the black race completely from off the earth. That's the CIA brainwashing them. And that's why you wonder why, Planned Parenthood and all these things that are obviously trying to genocide the black community. Why did Biden and his administration say black people need to get the vaccine first? It's racial justice, something that's an experiment. Well, it's why. It's all playing out Mein Kampf, and Planned Parenthood is a key player. John Foster Dulles, you've heard that name, Dulles Airport. He brought all the Nazi doctors to America right after World War II to teach the CIA how to propagandize the American people, to control their minds, and to turn them into sheep, where they're just useful idiots that just do as they are told. They brought them all here, all the top wicked people that had been experimenting on Jews and on the German people. They were all brought here. If you look at the Nuremberg trials and you look at how many people were actually convicted and executed and things, it's just a handful. Where did the thousands and thousands of other ones go? They came straight to America.
Operation Paperclip, and this is something people need to know because it has been so covered up and mocked and berated and claimed to be a conspiracy theory. And by the way, the term labeling people as conspiracy theorists was invented by the CIA to deflect any attention over the JFK assassination. They invented that word as a way to shut down any scrutiny or this critical investigation of what they were doing. So they started that whole ball rolling. In terms of Operation Paperclip, it is documented. There's absolutely no question about it. Alan Dulles, CIA director, was an associate of Heinrich Himmler of the Third Reich. So what Dulles proceeded to do when the Third Reich was brought down was he secretly brought all of the top Nazi scientists into the U.S. He falsified their files that he gave to Harry Truman, making them look like there were no war crimes. They brought these Nazi scientists into the CIA to work for the CIA, and that includes the human experiments they conducted on Jewish men, women, and children, and the psychological studies that these Nazi scientists had done. The CIA was using their expertise for these programs through Operation Paperclip, and this was Nazi, much of it occult beliefs that the CIA adopted and actually put these people on their payroll.
And then in the 80s, she went to Moscow. And this is another piece of the puzzle, just to show you, again, we are up against total blackness and evil. And that's why you have to be a Christian to be involved in this fight. Otherwise, you're fighting it on this superficial level of us versus them or freedom versus slavery. It's so much deeper than that. It's death versus life. That's how significant this is. She went to Moscow then in the 80s as a medical doctor because her heart was so drawn to want to help children that were being trafficked there. And so she started to uncover these rings of human trafficking through of children that were going on all over the Soviet Union. One third of all children were given to the state by the parents in the Soviet Union. That's how they'd beaten just the natural love a parent has for their child out of the people. They had so perverted and destroyed the people with brainwashing and everything. A parent didn't even have that love for their own child. And so she went there and started to set up these underground railroad to get these kids out. And she was being very successful at it. And in thousands, she got out. But then she came to the United States back over here and went and met with our State Department because she said, they need to know about this. I see the kids are being funneled into Boston and into Seattle and many cities in America, and they're being trafficked and they're being abused and they're being experimented on. And she was trying to expose this. And she went to the State Department in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan, okay, his State Department, which were all CFR members. And they came after her and said, we're going to destroy your life for exposing this. And she was like, she couldn't believe it. Like, what are you talking about? I thought you would say, oh, we're going to help you. We're going to. And she said they started to come against her and stop the work she was doing over there. Our State Department. That shouldn't disturb you or surprise you if you've studied. Our State Department has been taken over since Alger Hiss. Back in the 1930s, completely, and probably before that. That's how he got in there to begin with, the communist spy that started to destroy our country and then hire like-minded fellow travelers from within. But I'm just saying, this is what's been going on. And so this darkness, it's satanic. It's all evil. There's no appeasing it. There's no compromising with it. Our Republican politicians think you can compromise with this. Well, let's come up with a compromise on these things. Everything they're pushing is black as night. It's evil and satanic. And we've started to see the face mask come off over the last several years because they're pushing things that are clearly destructive to human beings, defund the police, abolish prisons, destructive to people, and encouraging of what is evil and vile in our culture. Then one of the other speakers got into the details of how there's just a theater of terror with COVID. And he talked about the key players in this and the key things they've done to expose how evil this is. Dr. Martin talked about so many things. And I'm going to play a clip from his talk right here, so you have an understanding of just some of the deceptions and lies and deceit that have gone into what we've been told is a virus that has escaped and is now poisoning us. So we have to change everything because of it.
A criminal conspiracy is defined by two or more people getting together to plan an illegal act. The slide behind me is the living proof that this was not a theory. This is a criminal conspiracy of domestic terror. And let's read, so that we get this into the record, what exactly they said. Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at an emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain funding beyond the current crisis, we need to increase the public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza and a pan-coronavirus vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, this statement was made by Peter Daszak in 2015. And in 2008, the World Health Organization said coronavirus was eradicated. Why in 2015 would at a National Academy of Sciences meeting they say that we need the world to accept a pan-coronavirus vaccine for a thing that didn't exist? Why would you do that? Because you're a criminal conspirator is why. That's why you do it. And it turns out it gets worse. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will follow if they see profit at the end of the process. That's a quote. That statement was made in 2015 at the National Academy of Sciences meeting, and it was so egregious that they decided to publish it. in February of 2016 in the proceedings in the National Academy of Sciences. Ladies and gentlemen, that's admission of a felony. And the felony is domestic terrorism. Now I'm going to give you a little more meat on this, but those of you who like to celebrate a particular endowed with hair former president, I got a problem. And this is the problem. On September 18th, 2019, there was a statement made by the World Health Organization that by September 2020, we were going to have a, quote, accidental or voluntary release of a respiratory pathogen and a global simulation so that we could actually get the world to accept a universal vaccine platform. That was published on September 18th, 2019. On September 19th, 2019, President Trump signed this executive order, and I want you to read what I highlighted in red. This vaccine platform will include technologies like DNA, messenger RNA, mRNA, virus-like S particles, vector-based and self-assembling nanoparticles. That was an executive order President Trump signed on the 19th of September, 2019. Do you see the executive order that President Trump signed the day after Anthony Fauci, the Chinese CDC, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in an illegal criminal conspiracy, said that we were going to build a universal pan-coronavirus vaccine? The next day, the president signed that executive order. Now, I don't know how many hamburgers he ate that night, but I'm going to tell you what. My guess is he didn't write that. Anybody want to go out on a limb with me on that one? My guess is that every piece of language in that document is something that did not come out of a Big Mac wrapper. He didn't open it up going, cheeseburger and coronavirus vaccine nanoparticles. But the point is, that doesn't exonerate a failure in leadership. Now, I am going to give you a very quick timeline to help you understand how I do what I do. Let's start back in 1990, and you heard what I said correctly. 1990, Pfizer filed the first coronavirus vaccine patent on canine coronavirus vaccine. 1990. And you know what that vaccine was? The S1 spike protein. Has anybody heard of the S1 spike protein before? Anybody? 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 Yes, that is a bioweapon. And it turns out that it's a protein sequence derived from the model of coronavirus, and it is a bioweapon. It is not a pathogen. It's a weapon. And we need to start using the correct language, because you know what a parent won't do? If we actually tell them that their kids are getting injected with a weapon, we would have less parents injecting their children. If you keep using the language of vaccine, you run the risk of losing every argument. But if you start calling it what it is, a bioweapon, known to be a bioweapon, I'm going to read what a bioweapon is from our own, let's see what this is, 18 U.S. Code Section 175. And by the way, the penalty for doing this, life in prison. Whoever knowingly develops, produces, stockpiles, transfers, acquires, retains, or possesses any biologic agent, toxin, or delivery system for use as a weapon, or, and this is a key part, people, listen to the words of the statute, or knowingly assists a foreign state or any organization to do so, or attempts, threatens, or conspires to do the same, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for life or both. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm talking about, because the S1 spike protein is a weapon. It's a weapon. And it's not from nature. It's actually amplified because in 1999, Anthony Fauci decided to use that particular protein sequence as a vaccine vector. And he, and I wish I could make this one up, but I can't make it up because it happens to just be the truth. He asked Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, to make, and I'm quoting, an infectious replication defective clone. Infectious replication defective. What does that mean? That means amplify the harm to human. That's what that means. You're taking a thing, you're actually making it more lethal, and then in 2002, you're patenting it. Please stop talking about the Chinese virus. There is none. There isn't one. Please stop talking about the virus. There isn't one. There's a bioweapon that was built in 1990, perfected in 1999, patented in 2002, and deployed against humanity in 2002, which gave us the first outbreak of SARS. We have never tested with any RT-PCR, any coronavirus. We've tested protein fragments. You know why? Because we're looking for the evidence of the bullet. Like we would look at the patterns of the rifling on a bullet in a forensic case. That's what RT-PCR is doing. Stop using the language that keeps us enslaved. Start using the language of the truth, which is this was a weapon and it was built to take out humanity.
I'm sure if you go to his website, Dr. David Martin, he'll have lots of more details and information there, because in the talk, he went on through all the patents and all the dates and all the things that show this was clearly planned. It wasn't an accident, and on it goes, but it shows the purposefulness, and it shows, no, this was to start down a road of transhumanism. And a lot of you go, what is that? I'll talk about that in a second here and show you some clips. But the perpetrators of this attack have one goal in mind: to destroy everything we hold dear. They want to eliminate the freedom of religion, speech, the Second Amendment's rights, the rights to own property, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's a war. Now, I've talked about that in the past. This is a war that we're in, but it's a spiritual war, and that's what I think we forget sometimes. It is a spiritual war like you can't believe, because of how evil the opposition is. I mean, it's, again, they're not misguided, they're not dumb, they're not uninformed or inept or whatever. They're evil to the core. They are satanic at the core. The more I study all this, I really think that we have been naive to think that those who are not following Christ are still well-meaning, nice people. They just aren't saved, or they're not Christians or whatever. For us not to think there's people that, of course, in their rebellion against God, are now following Satan. They're now going his road, and they're doing what he wants them to do. Well, of course, that would be the reality. But I don't think we ever really think like that. We just think, oh, it's ignorant people versus those of us that know the truth. And it's not. There is a section in the middle of ignorant people that don't know much about anything, who are prone to believe a lie because they're spiritually blind. But the other side, Satan is so powerful. We need to understand that. That's why we have to engage this at a spiritual level, because he has a plan and he hates human beings, and he has millions of followers worldwide, and most of them are in the positions of power everywhere. He has helped them get into those positions, and they are there for a purpose. They know what the game plan is, and that's what they're trying to accomplish. We get our good people in there, and they get lost in all the confusion of all the issues, and what bill should I vote for, and all this nonsense. The other side doesn't get that. They are satanic and evil to the core. They know what the agenda is because he tells them crystal clear, and that's what they're doing. During the charade of COVID, something happened. They've been wanting to get permission to edit the human genome. Okay, gene editing of human beings and splicing them with animals and trying to create a half animal, half human. And this is going on all over the world right now. So if you think I sound crazy, they've been doing this and they're working on it. But they wanted it kind of out in the open. There's a group, the Sherlock Bioscience Group in America, that's working with the communist government of China on this. But during the pandemic, the only way to get gene editing approved was emergency use authorization. So while we were sidetracked, they slipped the application into the FDA and it was approved. This CRISPR technology. And here's a few clips about that. And please listen, because it shows where we are going. This is from Alex Newman. He's been on the show before. He is just a wealth of knowledge. But here's some key things he talked about, and I'm going to show you a few clips so you understand, again, how black this is. It's not to advance mankind or come up with cures for diseases. They would never want to do that. Why? Because there's too many people on the planet. And as I've told you many times, their number one goal in their own papers is to cut world population to below 500 million people. So when that's your number one goal, don't ever think they would want to come up with a cure for cancer or any other disease. They're wanting to create diseases, create viruses, do whatever, create wars, anything to cut world population. That's those who are in power. That's the elites. That's the wizard behind the curtain. That's their goal. And so with all their power and control of all the businesses of the world and the educational systems, that's what they're working toward. But watch a few of these clips. They're very sobering. But I want you to see and be sobered by this to realize you need to get on your knees more often. And you need to be asking our commander-in-chief, what would you have me to do? What battle do you want me to fight? What person do you want me to influence? And we need direction. They're getting direction clearly from their commander-in-chief. And that's why they're beating us badly. We haven't been listening to our commander-in-chief. But watch a few of these clips.
This stuff has been going on for a long time, this research. This is from the 1960s. They made a remote control bull.
Electronic mind control research is not new. A scientific milestone in this area came in the 1960s when Dr. Jose Delgado demonstrated remote control over a charging bull. By connecting a radio antenna to electrodes inserted into the bull's brain, Delgado proved that the animal's aggressive impulses could be thwarted by electronically manipulating the bull's muscle reflexes.
Do you realize the fantastic...
So in the interest of time, we'll keep going, but an electronically controlled bull in the 1960s. This came out of Rockefeller University just a couple years ago. Remote-controlled mice. Now they don't even have to connect the electrodes to the brain. You should read this. I pulled this right off of Rockefeller University's website. You're going to flip a switch inside the head, and here is directly from their announcement of this technology. Get ready with your tinfoil hats. Mind control is not as far-fetched as it may seem. In Jeffrey Friedman's laboratory, it happens all the time. Though the subjects are mice, not people, for now. Okay, it says it relies on green fluorescent proteins borrowed from jellyfish. Those are called luciferin and luciferase, fun fact. Also uses a peculiar antibody from camels, squishy bags of iron particles. You guys heard all the weird things they're finding in these COVID injections? Oh, interesting. Metal particles, and they're going to do the cellular equivalent of a door. Okay, this is directly from what they themselves published, and it's going to be delivered using a genetically engineered virus. Huh, that's so interesting. So Friedman's team realized they could use this genetically engineered virus to create doorways into the neuron's outer membrane. Okay, and then they can switch on the mouse. They can make them hungry. They can make them not be hungry. Can you imagine the possibilities for this? Now, Homo Deus. It's the name of the book by this guy I'm going to show you, Yuval Harari. And I was shocked. This actually appeared just 2 weeks ago on 60 Minutes. The fact that they are now ready to reveal this to the zombies tells me something big is coming. Now, you know, they are trying to say, hey, this stuff is, you know, we need global regulation. We need a one, if you listen to the interview, he says we need a one world system with global regulations to bring it all under control. So maybe that's why they're revealing it. But listen, Yuval Harari is one of the premier guys. He wrote the book Homo Deus, which means man, God. And he's one of the premier guys. He's been endorsed by Barack Hussein Obama, by Angela Merkel. Him and Klaus Schwab are buddy buddies. He goes to the World Economic Forum and preaches the gospel of transhumanism. So listen to him talking with, what's his face, the CIA guy.
You know, we'll soon have the power to re-engineer our bodies and brains, whether it is with genetic engineering or by directly connecting brains to computers or by creating completely non-organic entities, artificial intelligence, which is not based at all on the organic body and the organic brain. And these technologies are developing at breakneck speed.
So they're serious, guys. And now here is Ray Kurzweil. He was the chief of engineering at Google. And he, along with Mr. Homo Deus, is one of the leading evangelists for this transhuman movement.
We are merging with this intelligent technology that we're creating. We'll get to a point within 40 years or so where we can really back up who we are. In fact, we will increasingly become non-biological. Our thinking will be a hybrid of our biological brains with a non-biological extension in the cloud.
All right, who wants to be a hybrid? Now, They know that probably most of us are bitter clingers, right? They know, you guys remember Obama, oh, the bitter clingers, they cling to their guns and their Bibles, boo-hoo. What are they doing? They're going for your kids, okay? And they're doing it blatantly in your face. I want to show you a couple clips from a show that's on BBC now, real popular with young people, called Years and Years. Listen, see those old-fashioned, silly parents, they just don't know how cool it's going to be transhuman.
Do you see? These are interaction notes. If I use this finger, I can open all the doors at work, no ID. And if I just scan this in a shop, I can pay for anything up to £1,000. And look, Dad, Mom, I've just taken your photo. Send and send. It doesn't need the sound effect. I just added that because it makes me laugh.
Yeah. And I mean, you guys should see this show. It is creepy.
Can't feel a thing. They inserted the tiniest wafer into my brain. God, look at the result.
Tiny microchip in my brain.
Synced us up. No keyboard. I don't need a keyboard ever again.
You did that by thinking?
It can't read my mind. Not yet, but the wafer tracks activity in the neural pathway and micro movements in the retina to predict what I'm thinking.
But that is reading your mind.
Let's see where everyone is.
Doesn't it just sound so cool? The silly old-fashioned parents, what do they know? And now listen to the way she describes being connected to the Borg.
So
listen to this. And imagine what young people are thinking.
I'm trying to explain it in ways you can understand, but the connection is so much more. While we were talking at exactly the same time, I wondered about the 80 days of rain, where it came from, why it was, what comes next. And I keyed into satellites just 30 seconds ago, so I can see the course of El Niño. And I can tap into pressure sensors along the Atlantic coast and barometric readings from the ships at sea. If I put all of that together, I'm there. I'm inside it, the tide, the depth of the sea, and the curl of the waves within me. And right now in Charles Street, Pasadena, 15-year-old girl called Effany Cross has written her first song and put it online, and she's got the sweetest voice. So when I combine all of that, it's joy. In my head, it is absolute joy.
Yeah, that sounds better than drugs, right? Sign me up. I mean, really, guys, this is what they're marketing to kids right now. The same way they market all the other stuff they want your kids to be involved. It's cool. It's joy. Your old-fashioned parents just don't understand. But I want to get into a little bit of this gene editing, right? Because this goes right along with the transhuman. God didn't know what he was doing when he wrote your DNA. But Bill Gates does. Seriously. So they've got this thing called CRISPR. They can go in and slice up your genes and insert new genetic information in there. And they're bragging about it. And guess where it first appeared? Oh, the Council on Foreign Relations Journal again, an article by Bill Gates of hell called Gene Editing for Good. We're going to edit your children's DNA. And it's all for good, of course. I mean, if you can't trust Bill Gates of hell, who can you trust, right? See, I mean, you guys should read this stuff. It's absolutely bonkers. They are now creating, at this moment, human mice. They're injecting human DNA into the genetic structure of mice, and they're creating human mice. And they're bragging about it in public. And here's Yuval Harari. I mentioned him earlier, Homo Deus guy. Here he is.
So it is very likely that within a century or two, Homo sapiens, as we've known it for thousands of years, will disappear. Not because, like in some Hollywood science fiction movie, the robots will come and kill us, but rather because we will use technology to upgrade ourselves, or at least some of us, into something different, something which is far more different from us.
Are you starting to understand the stakes here, folks? We are literally talking about the end of humanity. Let that sink in. The end of humanity. That's what these people are openly promoting on the world stage, with the full support of governments, international organizations, mega corporations. There's a much darker purpose. Even the tyranny pales in comparison to the evil that we're dealing with here. This is a show in Germany. Check it out.
Let's talk about the future. What is the future of medicine?
Telemedicine and artificial intelligence.
Well, if that were true, you'd see a computer scientist in front of you instead of a biologist. Yes?
Gene therapy?
And what is the basis of that?
Synthetic biology?
Synthetic biology. What is it? You.
With the help of synthetic biology, we can alter existing life forms or create new ones.
Come on! People think bigger! Synthetic biology transforms us from creatures into creators. It's not just the future of medicine, but of humankind. We can cease entire infections before the outbreak. Children start off with equal opportunities, and society is fair and tolerant. We eliminate genetic disorders. But if we don't do our work exceedingly well, it could end our species. It is on us to find a way. This is your future. Your responsibility. You are the creators of tomorrow.
And what about God?
Honestly, we make God obsolete.
Yeah, we're going to make God obsolete, guys. We're going to get eternal life. Remember years and years?
As information, because that's what transhumans are, Mom. Not male or female. Better. Where I'm going, there's no life or death. There's only data. I will be data.
I hope you got something out of those different clips. But did you get the idea that they're trying to create eternal life for mankind here on this earth? And it's satanic to the core, that desire to live forever, which we do have because we're made in God's image, and we will live forever in a state of life in heaven or a state of death in hell. But they're trying to sell to mankind, no. If we put our data into the computer system, we will live forever. Did you hear that one clip of that girl talking to her parents? I'll just be data and I'll live forever. I mean, it is a sad, scary, evil plan to convince people at some point to probably end their own life because, no, we'll put you in the computer system. As they start to integrate the computer chips into our brains, which they're already experimenting with and having success in animals. There's other clips I could play for you, but that's where this is. It's Satan trying to offer a counterfeit opportunity for eternal life. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. So as a free gift, we could be forgiven and be given the gift of eternal life through repentance and faith in Him. And Satan knows that. And Satan says, no, I'm going to sell him eternal life right now. And so this stuff is growing. The experiments that are being done, I guarantee you, worldwide are unthinkable with trying to combine human beings with computers, downloading our brains, and on it goes. There's so much information on this, and I don't want to get buried in that. I want to mainly focus on the reality that this battle is satanic evil against righteous godliness. That's the battle. And we need to say, I'm on God's side. You can't stay in the middle or you will slide to the side of evil by being silent in the midst of lies, in the midst of evil, not willing to sacrifice whatever to stop the evil from flourishing and destroying, especially our children. So this is a grand battle. And the Bible tells us all about it. But we sometimes pull out of that reality and thinking it's local, it's right here. We fight for things locally. We fight for different things. It's the way we love our neighbor, by standing for truth. But we have to take it to the next level of sharing the gospel, which gives man hope. And it sets them free from these types of lies. When you already have eternal life, like to me, when I hear that, I go, why would I want to live inside a machine? Or why would I, even if this physical body, you could make it last forever, would I want to live in this forever if you gave me the opportunity? No. The aches and pains and depression and discouragement and the sickness. No, not even for a minute. I'm glad we have a short life expectancy and to serve God and to do what is right. And then we get to get out of here and we get to go and spend eternity in heaven with Him. So That's where we are. I know this is kind of heavier than most, but it's an important reality that we have to keep reminding ourselves of as we read the Bible, as we memorize scripture, as we interact with our neighbors and friends and family. It's all spiritual. And as Alex Newman said, he goes, when you look at what's going on with this to control and enslave the world, it makes everything else look like a joke in comparison. Politics or this issue or that issue or what's going on. It's so serious. And it is. This battle is important. Dedicate your life to standing up for what is right. I want to end with reading a couple paragraphs from Thomas Paine, The American Crisis. And it relates to us today in that we need to be willing to sacrifice whatever we need to make that stand. Because it's not about us. It's about God. It's about truth and righteousness. It's about loving our neighbor. And it's so many parallels to today. But the situation we are in compared to our founders is infinitely more serious. Because evil through technology now has the ability to destroy life on a huge scale if it wants to enslave people on a huge scale if it wants to, and it has the vehicles of media and education and entertainment to push lies, to brainwash populations into believing these lies that will end in death. But he said this in 1776, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of his country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph." Boy, isn't that for sure. "What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to set a proper price upon its goods. And it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. Britain, with an army to enforce her tyranny, has declared that she has a right to bind us in all cases whatsoever. And if being bound in that manner is not slavery, then is there no such thing as slavery upon earth? Even the expression is impious, for so unlimited a power can belong only to God." They were dealing with tyranny there that had a pretty much of an iron fist, but nothing like the tyranny we are standing against that wants to enslave and then genetically modify and destroy every human on the planet. I mean, this fight is so noble and so valiant. But in the midst of that, the solution to the problem is the gospel. That's the solution. That sets man free. It saves his soul from hell. And it opens your eyes from the blindness of being lost, where you can then see the spiritual world because you're not spiritually blind anymore. You see this battle and then you realize I have something meaningful to do with my life. So keep standing, keep realizing that you were put here for such a time as this. And this battle is the greatest battle that has ever taken place in the history of the world. The evil now is showing its face for how wicked and satanic it is. And we on the side of righteousness need to shine the light of truth into the darkness of this deception because it is so great. One last quote from this essay that again just sounds like today. So on one hand, it's at a whole different level than it's ever been. But on the other hand, man has always had to fight evil because it is real. Evil is a real thing. It has a commander-in-chief who is the father of lies. It is always deceptive. It's always trying to pull people away from seeing the truth, following the truth, speaking the truth. But listen to this. There are cases which cannot be overdone by language. And this is one. And this is one like I've talked to you today. There are persons, too, who see not the full extent of the evil which threatens them. That's the majority. They do not see the extent of evil. They solace themselves with hopes that the enemy, if they succeed, will be merciful. They will not be. They will slaughter every person on the planet. It is the madness of folly to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice, and even mercy where conquest is the object is only a trick of war. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf, and we ought to guard equally against both. When conquest is the objective, in the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the Rockefellers, the George Soroses, and all the others have told us it's to create a new world order where we have total control, and China is the model for the world. Well, they've told us, and so we've got to stand and guard against the deceptions as well as the actual violence. Educate others, stand for the truth, and start praying an awful lot more than we do right now for direction, for blessing, for protection, and understanding. But I'll try to have a lighter episode next week. I appreciate you greatly, but this is the battle we're in. Our verse for this week is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, which means everyone. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel like Satan wants us to be, because that is the solution to the problem. But I appreciate you very much. And until next week, God bless you.